Hi, this is Adam Amin, and you're listening to Squash Masters, a junior squash podcast. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing junior squash players and coaches for their tips, tricks, and interesting stories. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Welcome back to Squash Masters. On today's episode, we're interviewing recently retired former World Open champion, former world number one, and many more. Welcome, Raneem El-Walili. When did you start playing squash, and why did you decide to start playing squash?
I started when I was 6 years old. The reason why I joined squash was purely because my brother started playing squash before I did. It was back in the 90s. The Egyptian junior squad had won a team championship, an international one, obviously. And for my parents, it was a big deal. Not just my parents, to most parents in Egypt, it was a big deal that Egyptians could actually achieve something internationally in any sport. Mm-hmm. And that's when a lot of the kids actually joined the squash program. So my brother joined the squash program before I did, and I used to go watch him. And after a while, I actually decided to give it a try and to get on court.
When you started playing squash, was it known in Egypt, or was it not very known?
Well, like I just said, it wasn't very known, but an Egyptian squash team had already achieved something big, which meant that squash has been there in Egypt for a while for them to achieve something this big. I gotta admit, it wasn't that big, but then a year or two later, Ahmed Barada started getting big in Egypt as an athlete. He was like a public figure, and we had an Ahram tournament hosted every year, and as kids we used to go watch that, and that got the crowds really engaged with the sport, and it got everyone in Egypt to know the sport. Until this day, if you ask anyone about squash in Egypt, they say the name Ahmed Barada, because that's how they connect both of them together.
What do you remember about your first tournament? If it was good or if it was bad? Did you win any matches?
I remember it was Ramadan. I'm originally from Alexandria in Egypt. So for a first tournament, I played the first tournament in Alexandria, which was at another club than the one I played in. I played for Alexandria Sporting Club, and the tournament was at Sumuha Sporting Club. So my parents thought it's a good idea to actually go and give it a try. They weren't there watching me. They had other commitments. We weren't really that serious at this point about the competition, you know, and taking the sport to the next level. They just thought I'd give it a try. And I actually did very well. I came in third place under 10 years, the event of 10. And that was very, very good. I lost in the early rounds of the under 12s, but still, I got a trophy on the first tournament, and that was huge for me.
How do you think that affected your confidence doing so well in one of your first tournaments?
I think, to be honest though, the number of girls playing squash back in the day wasn't as big as the numbers of boys. So it was a bit easier for girls than it was for boys to actually go out and achieve something. So in comparison to my brother, he had it, you know, harder than I did, because he had to actually qualify and then play like four or five matches. I actually started from the round of 16, if there was 16 girls to have a draw. So I think it helped a lot. The fact that I got a trophy on the first tournament, obviously, I got even more motivated and excited about the game. I remember my parents and my grandparents were so happy, and that excited me even more and made me even happier.
Did you ever play any other sports when you were little?
Yes. To start, I tried swimming. I didn't like it very much. My brother tried swimming as well, but he was way better than I was. So yeah, squash was my second sport. After a few years, I tried playing golf for fun over the summer. But still, I stick to squash.
How do you think like golf, swimming, helped you play squash?
Not much really. I didn't play golf for a long time.
Yeah.
But when it came to swimming, it the contrast between both sports was very easy for me. I loved the racket and the ball so much more than I loved the water. So swimming, as much as I'm not gonna say I enjoyed it, because it was brutal, you know. Like, I didn't like the fact that I would be in the water, being yelled at from a coach. He's coaching like 30 kids at the same time, and then you finish and you have to go to the showers, and all the kids are in there, and it's very crowded and busy in comparison to squash, where you're on court alone with a coach, and you have a one-on-one session, you know, and you're getting all the advice that you need just for you. And I have to admit, the racket and the ball are actually more exciting than the water, for me at least.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely about the crowdedness and the individual. How many times did you play a day / week before coronavirus?
Before coronavirus? So, before coronavirus, I would play 6 days a week. I would have, I would have Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday. I would have 3 days where I would have three sessions a day. And then three other days where I would have just two sessions a day. So I kind of had one full day off and then two half days off.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of adds up to 2 days off per week. Obviously, once Corona hit, all the squash clubs in Egypt were closed. So I didn't... I didn't play any squash, and yeah, well, now I'm retired, so no more squash. Except for fun, obviously.
Yeah. How did you recover between matches during tournaments, or how did you?
It depends, you know. Sometimes you have I don't want to say an easy match, but you have like a short match, like a 30-minute, 35-minute match. This is actually a bit easier to recover from than when you play like a brutal 5-game match that lasts for like an hour or sometimes even more. You gotta know what your body needs, what you need to recover. Like some people like to do like ice bath. I personally don't like that much. So I prefer working with a physio at the tournament, getting some good food and good sleep in the system. Sometimes you even have a day off the next day, which helps a lot. If you've had a short match and you have a day off before your next match, it's kind of not good for the rhythm. But when you play a 5-setter, then you definitely need that day off.
Yeah, definitely. So over the years, out of your whole squash career, which title do you think is most important to you and why?
I think the most important title for me is the World Open. I was lucky enough to win that in 2017 in Manchester. It was something that I've wanted to achieve for a long time, and actually having done that was super for me. I was so happy.
What's your second tournament?
That's a tough one. I have to say, it's very hard to pick like a second best tournament, but the tournament where everything started for me, like the first big tournament I ever won, where after then I started like just climbing the rankings and going all the way to the top, was back in 2011 in Brooklyn. It was called the Carol Way Miller Open. In 2011, I was just reading about that yesterday. Someone had sent me an article. I actually managed to overcome four higher seed players and win the title. which at the time was impossible to believe, but this is how my career, you know, took a turn for the better.
Mm-hmm. So when did you actually start playing professional squash?
Okay, according to the numbers, I started playing squash in 2002, which meant that I was 13 years old professionally. I joined the PSA. Back then it wasn't called the PSA, it was called the WISPA in 2002. But to be fair, at the time I only joined because I wanted to play at the tournaments that were played in Egypt. So I only joined to participate regionally for a couple of years. After that, I extended that, you know, to get the sense of a competition. After that, I extended that to play some tournaments that were in close by countries like Kuwait or Qatar, for instance. And to those, and I then added the World Championship, the Women World Championship. I have to say that I started playing full-time squash when I was maybe 16.
Mm-hmm.
16. So 2005, that would be.
Okay. What do you consider your best match where just something, like, you remember that as something went right that day?
That's another tough one. It's really hard to pinpoint one match to be your best match ever. Some matches you actually remember because they were very good wins. Some matches you remember because you played really well. Some matches you might lose, but you still played super squash and you're actually very proud of. It's hard to pinpoint that, but I think I would have to go to the best match that I played this season. Like, it's the closest thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
The final of San Francisco in 2019 against Nur Taib was probably my best performance this season. This is my answer.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, what's your worst match where, like, you didn't play your best?
So many matches and so many black dots in my career. But, you know, when you ask me that, I get a flashback of all the the bad matches I've played since I was a little kid, all the upsets, all the bad results. But I'm not going to answer that with one specific match, because you got to give credit to your opponent as well, because they play good squash to beat you. I would say the matches that I don't like the most are the matches where I didn't try my best. So if I go on court and I don't actually try and give everything I have on court, this is probably a bad performance for me. If I tried and I did everything and then I lost, then it is a bad result, but still it's not a bad performance, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely.
A bad result for me would be not trying on court.
If you were to play a match against another retired squash player, who would it be?
I would say, given the fact that I've played since I was very young, I've actually had the chance to play with so many great women over the years. But my favorite, whom I haven't played with, would be Sarah Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What's your best comeback story on the court where you were, like, down and you thought all hope was lost, but you managed to come back and win the match?
I've actually had that happen a couple of times this last season. Not this last season, the one before. In the finals of the World Series Finals, I was 2-love down against Camille. In the finals of the DPD Open in Holland, I was 2-love down against Nuri Shirbini. In Black Ball, I was almost completely out of the match against Nooran Gohar in the semifinals.
Mm, yeah.
And in Ilguna, not this past season, the one before, so like 2 seasons ago, I was completely outplayed by Noor Taib, and I actually came back. So many matches that come to mind when you ask me this question.
Mm-hmm. How do you think you managed to come back? Like, what's the reoccurring thing that helped you come back every single match?
I think the fact that you actually realize that, okay, I'm going to lose, but if I'm going to lose, I want to lose, you know, trying and giving it my 100%. So that's the most important factor, actually letting go of the situation and decide to just leave everything on court is the turning point.
Mm-hmm. What's the shot during like a match or a game that always gives you trouble and like it's hard to hit for you?
It's hard to hit for me. Okay. I'm going to go with hitting a cross court from the back corner of the backhand side. I usually go for that too early, and my opponent is usually right there waiting for it, so they end up volleying it really quickly before I even manage to recover from it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What's your favorite shot where, like, you always hit it and it manages to, you love to hit it, basically?
Any shot behind the back or between the legs.
Do you have any tips for beginners who are just starting to play squash?
Yes. Giving advice to beginners is actually a very tricky one because usually beginners don't really know whether they actually want to play squash for a long time, or they're just trying it out for fun. So it's usually just for fun. So my advice would be squash is a sport of so many details, and it takes time to actually get most of the details right or together. So the process might be slow at the beginning, and the progress might be slow at the beginning, but the thrill of, you know, like the coordination between your hand, your eyes, the ball, your movement is actually very, very exciting and very soothing somehow. So I would say take it easy, enjoy the process. It might be long, but the fun eventually is actually worth it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What are you most excited, now that you're done playing professional squash, what are you most excited about next?
I'm actually very excited about starting a family. It's something that I've wanted to do for a while. So now this is actually the one thing I'm looking forward to the most.
Mm-hmm. If you had a chance to go back in time and talk to your 10-year-old self, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, 10-year-old me, I would tell them squash is a crazy world, but it's a great, great experience. Never give that up.
Mm-hmm. How are you staying like mentally fit during the coronavirus, and what are you doing to stay busy?
The good thing is I don't have to be mentally fit. I just have to be mentally healthy at this point. Now that the courts are open, I'm actually just for fun trying to play a little bit with Tor. He doesn't have a training partner at the moment, and he's not allowed to be on court with anyone, as Egyptians are only allowed to do solo sessions. But since we're in the same household, we actually get to be together on court. So he's actually stuck for me until they allow us to be people on court. So this is how I'm staying a little bit fit. You know, I'm feeding him some squash. But other than that, I'm just trying to stay in touch with those around me, visiting my parents, visiting my in-laws. This is how I'm staying healthy.
Would you like to add anything on to any of the questions?
No, I think the questions were actually very interesting.
Thank you again, Raneem, for coming on the show. It was a pleasure to have you. Hey, if you enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As we try to grow the show, one way is for you guys to only share with just one friend who you think should listen to the show. Thank you.